This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Back! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio!
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Go check out our Hey Man L. It's available in stores across the ATL and in counties all across the state, guys. And I know a lot of guys have been saying, hey, I went to this place, that place, I couldn't get it. Restocking. Trust us, it's coming. More is coming for you.
Yeah, man. Taylor, the brewmaster, is making more beer. If you just tuned in, we were talking about Georgia Tech and how the thing is kind of in shambles. Just real quick, did anybody ever call in from Tech to give us any information, though, about the calculus or the – I mean, we're trying to get the base information here before we start making all these pronouncements about the program is why can't you have better student-athletes coming in? Why can't you get some 4- and 5-star guys in there? You know, that's always been the knock. You know, special brand of athlete. Well, O'Leary and – Gailey got some guys that had a lot of stars attached to their name, and, you know, I mean,
they put guys in the NFL.
Now, granted,
too.
They also did, you know, they didn't win every year to the level that the thing is for Paul is he can look around and say, hey, I'm the best guy since Bobby Dodd here, you know, as far as wins and losses.
Oh,
I mean, that's part of it.
But I also think, you know, we talk about a standard, and I'm not sure what that standard is right now at Georgia Tech. That's part of our conversation last hour, guys, as we fast forward, and we will get into the Falcon conversation with you guys, because I know, you know, yesterday I was probably a little bit more distraught than Mike was. It was a great weekend in the ATL. Lots of positive things took place. You know, we had Darren Eales in studio earlier talking about our Atlanta United. They're in a great spot. Braves clinch. Big series starting against the Mets tonight.
Weather, by the way, Carl, I'm going to cut you off, real funky, so it might be a delay. Kelsey Winger, who works for Fox, was saying the weather really just bad up there in New York right now.
Yeah, and it's a big series, guys, because you're still playing for something. You're trying to get home field throughout. You know, you could do that. So these games, they still matter. Tuki Toussaint on the hill, and we'll talk more about that coming up in about 15 minutes. But as far as the Falcons are concerned, and we're going to tell you who they signed and what happened. We know Ricardo Allen done for the season. And, you know, we said this, big shout-out to Ricardo yesterday, but he's now on the IR. But after watching this game last night, Mike, and I'm talking about Tampa, and they lose, okay? And Tampa's now 2-1. There are only three remaining undefeated teams in the NFL right now. That's the Los Angeles Rams, it's the Miami Dolphins, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't know what you think about them, but understand this as you look at our situation, which looks dire right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got two starting safeties. One's a Pro Bowler. The other, Ricardo Allen. Again, the leadership that he brings is unfathomable when you start talking about the communication and all the stuff that goes on. But there are 22 teams, Mike, that are jumbled at either 2-1 or 1-2. All right,
and or then some at 1-0-1.
Well, and then there's another four teams at 1-1-1, right, which the Steelers happen to be one of those teams. Guys, this is parity in the NFL. And the point is, there's nobody running away with this. There's no reason for us to put our hands in the air. As fans of this team, and more importantly, guys, I talk to you on the radio every day about this team, and we're in the know, I'm telling you right now that I'm not as worried as I was yesterday. Now, a caveat to that, Mike, real quick. How much do you trust Dan Quinn? Because that's a part of this conversation. And when some organizations go through this kind of adversity, you go, well, we're done. And that's what some Falcon fans are saying. We're not saying that, but I think this is the first time that Coach Quinn, Mike, has had a chance to try to deal with this kind of adversity. There's been different kinds of adversity. Coming back after the Super Bowl and what the team would do, and ultimately we make the playoffs, that was different than having stars lost for the season, or at least a portion of it, and how you manipulate, you know, what you're doing moving forward. So with that said, they did make some moves today with the roster, including signing a linebacker and a safety today with the Falcons.
Yeah, guys, the pick guy they picked up, Bruce Carter, by the way, a linebacker. He's kind of traveled around the league as a former second rounder. Picked up Cowboys, Bucks, Jets. He is 30 years of age. So Bruce Carter, a linebacker, picked up. And is it Neeson?
Sherrod?
Shereen Neesman. He's also been with us, practice squad before, so he's active on the roster right now. So Falcons making some moves. As you guys know, Ricardo Allen shut down with the Achilles.
All right, Mike, I guess I'm asking you, and this is what we're getting. It's kind of a mixed bag, right? Some guys are like, oh, what are we going to do? And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. They are adamant that they have the guys in-house. They will not go out at this particular time and do anything about going out and signing or making a trade. But here's where we stand on this, guys, and this is the point that we're trying to get through to you. This is part of it. You don't give up. We don't throw our hands up, and we're certainly not pushing the panic button today, Mike, because we're 1-2 right now.
Well, that's just it. We had a guy start the show and hit us up on Twitter. He said, we might as well tank, man, do what the Braves did a couple years ago, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Carl just laid it out. The entire NFC, heck, the entire NFL is full of parity, okay? We're only one game out in our division right now. So, big picture. Do we know it's going to be tough? We're never going to lie to you on the show. If you guys listen to us over the years, we hit the panic button. 14, it was right after the Detroit game in London. Panic button. The thing was hitting the rails, off the rails. 2015, it was after that loss to the Colts. And you and I said, oh, we're done, man. Hit the panic button. There might be a time, Carl, when we dig such deep a hole we can't get out, but we're not there yet. You got an MVP quarterback. You're putting up 35 points a game. I get it. The defense is going to have to be better. Yes, Dan Quinn assures us they're going to be doing some better tackling. But when you look around the divisions and you look around the league, there's no one who's the big boogeyman, save for maybe the Rams. And even they've got issues in the secondary. By the way, Carl, you got the Bengals coming up. They've got a banged up right now. A.J. Green with a groin injury. Joe Mixon is just 10 days removed from a knee-scope procedure. So the Bengals might not have all the weapons for their offense. And, of course, Andy Dalton on the road now. So if we start to lose 3-4, okay, we got it. We know where we stand. But right now is not the time to quit. And, by the way, what kind of fan are you that throws up the white flag after three games?
Not a true fan. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, guys. 92.9 The Game. Like us on Facebook if you've not done so. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. We asked this question today as we started the show, and I said on Twitter, we're going to have a serious conversation because, Mike, here's the deal. We have trusted Coach Quinn with the draft. We trusted Coach Quinn coming in with a plan on what kind of team he wanted to build. We've trusted Coach Quinn coming off of the worst Super Bowl loss, it is, in the history of the game, and saying, we're going to be fine and we'll be fine to make the playoffs. And we did. I trust him. I trust the fact of what he's saying and the fact that he feels like they have the guys that can do the job. Now, are they going to be the caliber of Keanu Neal or Ricardo Allen? I don't know. I think Casey's going to be really good. But whatever the situation is, it's not like these guys are going into the Falcon locker room and going, man, I'm just going to be a buster when they put me out there. All these guys want to perform at a high level.
Now, look, when Ricardo Allen goes out, did our defense look like a Chinese fire drill? I don't know if you can properly say that anymore. It's probably not PC. But, yeah, we were very disorganized at times in finding where we're supposed to be in assignments on the field, and that will be corrected. And we've lost Andy Levitre, okay? So Schweitzer's got to do a better job on the left side, on the offensive side of this deal. But certainly I think we can all agree that talking about Sarkisian's play calling, that really wasn't an issue. It was more, once again, about execution. The one time we got stymied, it was your boy Davenport on a sack, which ended a drive. And then we had the one where we just could not generate anything with the 1 minute left and two timeouts. Other than that, we were able to pretty much get what we wanted against the Saints' defense. The Falcons have a vibrant offense. It's going to be, as we said with Brian Billick, a lot like the 16th season. You're going to have to hang on. There's going to be nail-biters, Carl. I think that's a realistic way to look at this season right now.
There is, and here's something that, I think – as the personnel changes, right, it's like your job. If somebody new comes in and they do things a little bit differently and the personnel changes, you've got to do things a little bit differently. Does that mean, Mike, we dial up more blitzes? Because here's the question for you. We're paying Rocky and True a lot of money. Now, they're not going to exclusively be in one-on-one coverage out there, but my point is we have two of the best corners in the league. This whole notion, and I know we play a lot of cover three, I get it. And no one gets deep. You'll let them catch stuff underneath. I know the premise. But my point is, if we're not able to get pressure, and I know Tack today said he wants to come back. What was the message?
I got you, Atlanta.
I got you on Twitter. And we need Tack back. But my point is, maybe we dial up more blitzes. Maybe the concept changes a little bit based on the fact that the personnel has changed. That's going to be Marquand Manuel and Dan Quinn's decision. I don't know if they do that, but it may end up being something that changes now that you've got some new faces on the defensive side.
Now, it's only Tuesday, guys. And, again, we'll be up there with the only radio station to broadcast live from Falcons midweek at Flowery Branch. We'll be talking to Dan Quinn. We'll be in the locker room, hopefully pulling some audio for you from the players we can get on tape. But they did release a depth chart. And this is only on Tuesday, but it is interesting. On the defensive side, it is still going to be DeMonte Casey at free safety, Jordan Richards at strong safety. I think you and I and some other Falcon fans say, what about Poole playing the strong safety? But anyway, Poole stays where he is right now. Some people thought maybe you could also bring in Isaiah Oliver, and you could bring him in the nickel, or you could switch him with Alford and let Poole play the safety. Either way, right now, it's as read. He loves KZ. Jordan Richards, who we traded with the Patriots for, is strong safety right now on the depth chart.
Yeah, Poole, and I just want to, Bo, usually on the slot, right? I'm thinking about Brian Poole when he's in there. And so that's what they like for him to do. And I've said this, you know, outside of last week, if you go back and watch Poole, he's made some really good open field tackles, Mike. In space, he's done a really good job. Nobody did that great last week against the Saints, but he's usually on the slot.
Yeah, and he's very good there. He's normally a pretty solid tackler. I think it's tough right now because you say your best cover corner right now would be Robert Alford.
Right.
So you can't move him. He's got to stay on the outside. You're not going to move True. So in Oliver's played 11 snaps in his NFL career in regular season. So he was – and he got those snaps in the dime last week against New Orleans. So I think – Poole is a guy, Mike, that could do some safety.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jordan Richards, who's now gotten 2 weeks at the strong safety spot,
he's the guy.
You want him to be the guy.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can figure out where to line up. But the sacks thing, I looked up the sacks. We are 28th in the league in sacks. You know who surprisingly is 29th with one sack less than us?
Who's that?
This surprised me, shocked me. The Rams.
Wow. Really?
And they might have lost Tlaib for the year.
Yeah,
right. They got Tlaib. Marcus Peters is out on their secondary. But again, between Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, you know, and they've got decent defensive ends, although they did move one in the offseason. That's interesting. So here's the deal, guys.
Yeah, but their offense is clicking, though.
They're just killing it. Vic Beasley has got to be better. Tack said, I got you, Atlanta. Got you, ATL. Tack sounds like, and we'll find out from Dan Quinn if he's favorable, that Tack will be back from the groin injury. The other thing is, and you brought this up, about the blitzing. As a fan, football fan, wouldn't you rather die, you know, going after it, full tilt boogeyman, as opposed to, but that's what we don't like to blitz. We're playing that cover two. Fans hate to see the guys get those catches and then be able to move after the ball. The idea, the way the defense is supposed to work, is pressure from the down lineman, and then the guys hit the ball carrier immediately. Not supposed to get those big yards after the catch.
Mike, I think we both agree on this, but I think it's kind of our makeup, though. I'd rather give up a big play here and there, right?
While blitzing.
And we said this in the playoffs, and Dan Quinn, actually, they played a little bit more press man at times. I mean, over our playoff runs the last three seasons, you know, when you talk about where this team has been, they've mixed up the coverages. But I'm simply saying, if that is an issue, and Bo just gave you the numbers as far as where we are as a unit, and it continues to be, and you've got reserves now who are going to become your starters, I just don't know – if you say, you know what, we're going to attack and not be attacked. And that's the thing that I think they've got to come to a decision on. Or maybe they go, you know what, we feel good with the coverages and we'll just sit back and see what happens. Either way, our point today here on a Tuesday, guys, coming off of Sunday's loss against the Saints, is very simple. We're 1-2, and we're not out of this by any stretch of the imagination.
Look, as we said, guys, we try to keep it real here. Sometimes you guys feel we're too critical of the Falcons over the years. We're never going to sugarcoat it, but I think there is a time, to Carl's point, there's a time when you realize, okay, it's just not happening for us. When the mathematics start kicking in, you realize, oh, you're looking up at so many teams. But right now, you're still in the mix. The road is uphill. It's going to require a Herculean effort. Guys that aren't that great are going to have to be great, or at least be close, because the really great guys are all banged up. Good news is, Carl, keep your head above water, and then you get Debo back in the mix. The good news is, let's look on the positive side. Now that Julio has become the world's most expensive decoy, we're going to see Calvin Ridley blowing things up. Calvin Ridley's becoming a force.
Well, I think that, you know, last week it was special for Ridley. Is he going to have three touchdowns every week? Probably not. But he's going to have more opportunities. And we said this when we drafted him, based on the way teams are going to play Julio. Teams will account for Julio. Guys, as we wrap up the Falcon Report, I want you to hear Dan Quinn.
I want to be clear that every guy on this team is here for a reason, that we believe in him. And we will not play the role of the victim with injuries. And we got a locker room full of tough-ass competitive guys. And I expect us to play well, and we will.
Let's go to work.
Hey, Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, guys. Large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Mm-hmm. Carry out only. Good every night of the week. If you want to make it a pizza party, go to Domino's. Call them right now.
All right, big story coming up. Our team's on the road, but these games matter. All right? Mets not good. We are, and we're still playing for something. We'll get into that coming up next on Dukes and Bell. yesterday you put out a poll on the Twitter, and a lot of people responded to it because we were saying yesterday, and again, coming off of Sunday, you know, the idea was that the Falcons are going to probably go do something prior to Dan Quinn speaking on his press conference here on our show, talking about that they have those guys in-house. But you put it out there about going out and getting somebody.
Now, again, guys, you got to figure Seattle would have you over a barrel because they wanted a first-rounder or at least a second-rounder to try to move Earl Thomas earlier this year, and the Cowboys, they balked at it. So the question, should the Falcons, in essence, rent a player with a trade for the Seahawks, Earl Thomas? 53% of our audience says, yes, need a playmaker. Mm. And 47% said, no, the ask will be too high. And over 1,400 people responded. So it was a hot-button issue.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I said yesterday, as we talked about this, you know, I want to go get guys that make plays. I don't disagree with most of our audience there. But we don't know if the guys that are going to step in make plays. What if KZ, you know, all of a sudden in the next three games has a pick or two? You know, a strip sack or a fumble recovery. We don't know how this is going to play out. I think he's a ball hawk. Mike, I don't know enough, I'm going to be honest, about Richards and his playing ability to give you a true assessment. Yes. This is a wait and see for
now,
me.
The good news is about Richards is he was good enough to be drafted by Bill Belichick. Unfortunately, Bill Belichick also decided to trade him. So he came from the Patriots. He got a ring at our expense. He's a guy with experience in the league. He was a relatively high draft pick. So Jordan Richards is the guy that plugs in. And we gave you all the different scenarios and how it works. But certainly, guys, KZ was a guy, I think if you were watching him at practice at Falcons or you watch him in preseason, DeMonte KZ was a guy who was saying, wow, we got to find a way to get him on the field. Well, unfortunately, the circumstances have forced Dan Quinn and Marquand Manuel's hand, but the guy certainly looks good. Hey, real quick, speaking of safeties and defensive backs, last night on Monday Night Football, before we get to the big story, did you see the poor Chris Conte get absolutely humiliated on national
TV? Get out of here, Chris Conte!
By Vance McDonald. Tight end for the Steelers, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling down the sideline. The greatest stiff arm in recent NFL Monday night history, certainly. The guy blew his knee out, apparently.
Wow.
And am I reading this right? He's on the IR now
with
the Bucs?
He is on the IR.
I mean, how do you get stiff-armed and blowing your knee out?
Was it on that play, though?
I don't think it was on that play, but he was messed up. He hit his head on the ground on that one, but either way, Conte is now kaput for the Broncos.
No, he got hurt later in the game. He lost his soul on that play, but he hurt, lost his knee on another
hey,
play
ring the
later.
Bell. Ring Start, the bell.
If I had it, my bell broke today.
How did you damage the bell?
I think it fell. I need a new one.
Man, get your new bell.
But normally it would be a ding, ding, ding. You're right. He did lose his soul. It's the Bucs. Is he starting strong safety or free safety? Do we know? Yeah. Strong safety?
Chris Conte.
For the Bucs?
75-yard touchdown. Not tell me if he's a starter. Either way, he got smoked.
Okay, he did get smoked, and it was ugly last night.
And it was almost like that ESPN promo where it says, you're going to be on SportsCenter. You know where the guy's face is down? Yeah. They have a guy who's supposed to be a giant. It's actually against the make-believe Falcons, and the guy's seen his reflection in a puddle of water, and Kenny Mayne's like, you're going to be on SportsCenter. Well, that's exactly what happened to this guy.
Chris Conte, no relation, by the way, to our own Mike Conte, just so you know. Free safety, starting free safety.
There you go.
Let's get to the big story.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
Braves, they start a series against the Mets. Some people saying it's meaningless. We've wrapped up the division. Who cares
who
we play? No, man. Listen, if it started today, it would be the Dodgers, right? You want the Dodgers?
Well, I mean, the Rockies came in and cleaned our clock. Not if I want the Rockies either. You know, if you were the number one, you'd get the wild card.
Correct. And that's why this series is important. Six more games, guys. You know, you got the Mets coming up here tonight. It's Tookie Toussaint. We'll talk more about this matchup. Chip Carey was on our morning show. He even mentioned the fact that these last games, you're not just rolling guys out there. They're important.
Atlanta would like to finish ahead of the Dodgers and have home field advantage in a potential series with them or whomever comes out of the West. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Braves could catch the Cubs for the best overall record in the league. So there's still a lot to play for, and having those extra games at SunTrust Park would certainly be a big advantage, I think, despite the Braves' struggles at home this year.
Chip's right, Mike. And, you know, looking at the standings, just in the National League, we are 88-68, right? We've clinched. Cubs are 91-65. They're within striking range.
We're three games behind right now.
Correct. And then you've got the Dodgers at 88-69. That's what Chip is talking about in a potential, you know, series with them. The Rockies 86-70.
They're a game and a half behind LA for that division.
And the Brewers 90-67. But again, they're behind the Cubs in the Central, one and a half games. These games matter.
Yeah, the Brewers and Yelich, and they've got some clutch guys. They got actually two guys out there that are like game changers. So Yelich, remember, they got from the Marlins when they did the fire sale, and he's been a rock star MVP candidate.
He has. It is Tookie Toussaint tonight. understand this too, this as far as these last six games. You know, I'm not sure what the status is moving forward in these playoff series for Julio Teheran or Sean Newcomb. I would love to tell you, yeah, they're going to be a part of the rotation, and I don't know if I'm willing to say that right now, Mike. I don't know. We've talked about who do you hand the ball to, but I think these guys right now are on the bubble.
You go you got to go with Fulte. You got to go with Gausman, ground ball pitcher, and then you go with Anibal Sanchez as experience. I just don't think you trust, to your point, Newcomb or Julio Teheran because you just don't know. And here's the other thing is, I mean, there's got to be a place for him in the postseason, but do you trust – all right, guys on base, do you trust Julio Teheran to come out of the bullpen?
I mean, that
would give everybody a little bit of pause.
I think so.
Because sometimes he's a slow starter. Can he heat up in that role? They're going to start all the starters today. Acuna batting first. Albies in the seven hole. So Inciarte batting second. And as you mentioned, Tukey on the bump against the Mets. But the weather is a concern. Intermittent showers. So if you watch it, they may try to squeeze in just 5.5 and get it done.
Yeah. Noah Syndergaard on the hill.
Or six if we win.
For the Mets. Six starts since August. And you talk about how he's been 4.74 ERA in those six starts. And allowed three runs in six innings last time he faced the Braves. So, listen, we can get this in the guard. He can be dominant at times, but I'm curious to see what Tukey does tonight.
Well, again, with the rain delay, if there is going to be one. David Wright also, an emotional return to Citi Field, the guy that was once the face of the franchise and then just could not stay healthy. Wasn't even a part of that World Series run when they lost to the Royals that year. You see what Snitker said? What
did he say?
Saying that basically I'm not going to be running these guys into the ground, but we've got to still stay sharp. You know, we still got six big games to play. So to your point, you don't want to you want to have momentum, right? You don't want to go in there going, you know, 2-4 in these games.
You feel like, and here's the thing for the Braves. This is something I think Brian Snicker's probably told our squad. We're good on the road. I mean, we are one of the best teams on the road and have been in the National League. We've got the best away record, 45-30, Mike.
Right.
So
ironically, we get home field by winning the division.
Correct. So here's the thing, though. You say we need home field, and everybody talks about wanting home field. But we've proven we can go on the road and win, and we've done it all season.
Right.
So is that pressing enough where, as he just talked about, you're going to play guys longer than you should or keep guys in a game longer than you should over the next six? Or you just go, you know what? We've got a great road record. Let's see how these play out, but I'm not going to worry about all of that.
Well, here's the other thing. You don't want to. I mean, if anything, you'd like to have all the Gwinnett's, all the Gwinnett Striper guys that are up on the expanded roster do some of the heavy lifting when it came to the pitching. So your bullpen is rested for the run through the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
You know, you and I have talked a lot about the pitching staff because I know there's. I'll give you some names, and you give me your level of meh when they come out of the bullpen.
Okay.
All right. Minter.
Mmm.
Well, that was actually kind of a positive. Mm. Johnny Venters.
Ventures has not been bad.
Chad Sabatka. No, I like him. He's the one who throws like 99 miles an hour. He's like a right-handed rocker.
I know.
All right. Arrodis Vizcaino. Brad Brock.
Brock has been really good since coming over here.
Okay. Right.
He has, Squid. Sorry.
I mean, Jesse Biddle. Biddle. I know exactly. Well, we'll see where it goes, boys. Minter. Yeah, as I said, we started the whole conversation with him. It's not the bullpen that maybe can get the job done on paper.
But don't
but
we
stranger things have happened because we're so clutch. And if it does become a shootout, you get into a high-scoring game, you got guys who can produce and can be clutch late in the game.
You damn right. But we have a true setup now, right? Setup
right.
Closer situation.
Yeah, Minter comes in the eighth and then sets up Vizcaino.
And we haven't had that, guys, since Vizcaino was on the DL forever.
And so Venters and Brock can maybe get and Chabot. Now again.
Righty-lefty-lefty-righty.
Sabatka's a right-hander, so, you know, you might not use it. Well, but the guy, if he can just keep it when he's dialed in, and he throws like
I know how hard he does. But that's what you're like, I don't care if he can give us strikes. But I just want to see 150 miles per hour.
You want like this 6'9" guy looks like a giraffe out there. That release point, it's like coming from the roof of the Omni.
I hear you. It's gonna be fun, but they gotta take care of their business here over the next six games first. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hey, coming up, we're gonna catch up with our man Mike Conti. Also at 6 o'clock, top three at six. And for those who missed it, Brian Billick stopped by the show. You'll get a chance to hear what he had to say in the 6 o'clock hour as well, talking about overcoming these injuries and who's really impressed him in the NFL thus far. We mentioned this, three unbeaten teams. I said to Mike earlier today, The wild team right now for me is Kansas City. And I mentioned, you know, Pat Mahomes being a rookie. He's not a rookie. He's basically a one-year player, but this is his first year playing.
Right.
He didn't play last year behind, you know, Alex Smith. But to me, that they've had the wow kind of thing going on just because of the way he's put up numbers
but
so
as
far.
We said earlier, guys, at least in the NFC, you know, the Rams, everybody's dealing with injury or one type of an issue, this or that. So let's just wait. It's not time to throw up the white flag. My God, man, it's only three games.
Conte, next.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Top 3 at 6 coming up, guys. Interesting decision the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to have to make after last night's Monday night game. We'll also fill you in on who the Falcons have signed today. But before we get to all of that, it's In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
You see Fitzpatrick look like Frankenstein after he threw that touchdown to bring him within three. I mean, there's something like oddly likable and relatable about him.
Right.
I don't know what exactly, other than like he seems so unathletic. And for all of us unathletic guys out there, you can relate
but
to that.
But when he picks him up and puts him down, man,
oh, no,
it's amazing.
No, there's no doubt about it. He had a wide range of things happen to him last night, both good and bad. Also down in Florida, totally unrelated.
Hey,
to
Florida man.
Actually, you know what? Most of the time you would start a story like that, it'd be like some guy in his underwear getting eaten by an alligator or something like that. This is actually really, really strange. There's a teacher in South Florida who says she was fired because she refused to give a student a 50% grade for not turning in homework. Okay, now the teacher's, follow along here, this is a little tricky. Teacher's name is Diana Torrado. She's in Port St. Lucie. She's kind of close to Tampa, right?
East Coast.
Other side. Okay, so not close to Tampa. anyhow, she says that she was reprimanded by the school's principal because she was giving students zeros for homework assignments which they did not complete or turn in.
Okay.
The school, according to the principal, has a policy that the lowest grade you can give someone is 50%, even if they don't do any of the work.
What is that about?
I don't know. Well, that's what the teacher said. What's that about?
More wussification of America.
Well, the teacher said she was told, give Johnny over there 50% or you're fired. And she's sticking to her gun. She says she's giving him a zero, so she was fired.
You ever get a zero, Mike? Mike Conte, I know you got a zero. Mike.
What are you looking at me for?
Yes.
You got a zero?
Yes, I have.
Gotten a zero as well.
Mike, and I was in Pennsylvania. In New York State, you could flunk out all four quarters or all semesters and then ace the state regents test and get a passing grade for the course.
Wow.
And that's what I did in French in ninth grade.
Yeah. Wow.
Bunch of F's, and I pulled a C+ on the Regents test.
Interesting.
That's kind of like the deathbed repentance. Like, live a life of sin, but then on your deathbed, like, you know, I repent. No, in college, I would.
On a paper?
Like, on a class.
Okay.
Like I would go literally a semester without showing up until the final.
Final.
And then, oh, yeah, they had all these pesky assignments I didn't know about because I didn't read the syllabus.
Right.
But anyhow, I stick by Diana Torrado, Miss Torrado here. She says, look, I'm not going to roll like this. If someone doesn't do the work, I'm giving them a zero. I don't know what the heck kind of policy that is. I've heard of kids getting suspended from elementary school because they chew a Pop-Tart a certain way and it looks like a gun. This is, I don't know, strange.
It's not strange.
Very strange.
It's strange in the sense that I think we grew up in a time where whatever you got, you got.
Right.
If you got a 20 on a test, that's what you
got. You got a 20, that's it.
You know, you got a 10, that's what you got.
Now,
they're giving grades, and there's something fundamentally wrong with that.
You didn't turn in a homework. You're getting a half of 100, and you didn't do any work.
Now, this is really important. We have a disagreement with Craig here. Craig, I'm inviting you to talk.
He's from the People's Republic of California.
No.
CGC.
What did you just tell me in my ear?
Well, I was saying if you get a 50%, 50% is an F.
Okay, now that's true. But
if it's averaged out,
averaged out with, like, okay, I did do my homework on Thursday and I got 100 on that, it averages out to a C. And what Ms. Torrado was saying, no, that should average out to 50. You still fail because you need to do your work.
And I agree with you. I got a bunch of zeros back in the day, just saying.
Yeah,
maybe that's how they look at it as a letter grade rather than the percentage points.
And by the way, we were just speaking about, we're talking of syllabus. We were talking earlier, Mike, about Georgia Tech because obviously Paul Johnson is floundering again with the program. Talked to our good buddy Chris Cotter, who works for ESPN and a Georgia Tech grad. He says calculus. He said he's pretty sure they do. It's easier than the engineer calc, but all students, including the student athletes, have to take a year of calculus at Georgia Tech.
Yes, but it's not five mandatory math classes, as some people were suggesting. It's one calculus class, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Just saying.
But it is calc, and I wouldn't want to do that now.
I don't know.
Well, it's two semesters, Bo. Yes. Thank you.
What did you major in Texas? Trucking?
No. Bo's like a year is not one class. It's two semesters. No, I'm a PR major. That's what I majored in.
Squid had 5 years of book learning at Kennesaw State.
No, that was 6¾ years.
Really? You get your master's?
Oh, yeah, I did a lot like you. I didn't go to classes.
Oh, okay.
I slept through
classes. I mean, it's been 15 years since I graduated from Penn State. Do you still have dreams like you wake up in the middle of the night, oh, my God, do I have an exam tomorrow because I haven't been to class all semester?
No,
I still have those dreams.
Do you really?
Yes, absolutely. It's crazy.
I have dreams. I have to have meetings in the office here.
Yeah.
No, that's
cold. And I wake up in a cold sweat.
Yeah, that's happened to me, too, a lot lately. Like, work things are intruding on my dreams, which that's generally not a good sign.
Do you think it's time to do, like, a Dial-A-Date contest with our boss, Carl?
I do.
I think wouldn't that be fun, Mike?
What
do, like, a Dial-A-Date with double X?
Oh.
Win a dream date with Terry.
I'm not touching that one. Okay, in Detroit.
Be a little fun.
At Comerica Park.
Yes,
an Instagram video emerges, and it's a guy working at one of the concession stands. And this is horrible. It's really zoomed in and gross.
Ooh.
And you see the guy. He's kind of making a pizza crust.
Okay.
And then he leans over and hocks a big loogie right on that pizza
crust.
Just absolutely disgusting.
That's not right.
And someone posted it to Instagram. Equally bad. Well, the police saw the post, found the guy. He's in jail.
Yeah.
They threw this guy in jail for doing
that. Darn right.
Yeah.
At least make him spend a night in jail over that. Creep.
Well, the guy who posted the video told a TV station that the guy who did it was mad and having a bad day and claimed that he's done it in the past.
Ugh.
And furthermore, the guy who posted the video said that his managers got mad at him when he showed them the video and that he was threatened with prosecution if he didn't take his post down. Just like this teacher from Florida, he said,
standing up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Watch this.
Double down.
Oh.
And he posted it, and the guy was thrown in jail.
Let me ask you guys something. Do you watch all that sick, crazy stuff on Instagram? People will post stuff, and you come across it. Not necessarily that you follow it, but it pops up on your feed, and you see something. You know what I'm talking about, Mike Conti.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it, and you're like, oh!
Yeah.
And, like, people spend half their day watching those crazy videos. It's right. Craig's right. People doing stuff to their skin, all kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing sexual. Well, we're just talking about crazy, weird stuff.
Yeah, like weird things. Like,
weird.
Like right? The time that John Fricke shotgunned a glass of Pinot Grigio up his nose. It was gross.
Well, it was a bet.
I didn't want to see that.
How about the time I put an entire solo cup filled with Jägermeister in my mouth? Fit the entire solo cup in my mouth and then guzzled it, Carl. Guzzled the entire, I did the entire thing.
Y'all are terrible.
By the way, I'm not joking.
I don't want to see that.
No, I can't see that.
Here's the point. When I watch like Tosh.0, I'm a big fan of Daniel Tosh's show. But there's some stuff I can't even look at the screen.
No,
it's
absolutely.
So disgusting. You got to turn away.
And the thing is on Twitter, and I'm not sure if I've talked about this exact incident before on this show, but like now when you scroll through Twitter, a lot of things come up on your timeline that people you follow have given a like to.
Right.
They haven't even retweeted it. They just like it. And there is someone at work who has liked some really, really, really weird things. And you scroll through and you're like, okay, great. Freddie Freeman got a home run and Dwayne Dedman's hurt. And oh, my God, what's that? And how did that get on my timeline? And it says so-and-so liked it.
Right.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not on Twitter. Ever.
Well, it's like
it happens.
We're both reading the same book that Bob Woodward wrote, Carl, and Manafort got in trouble because he goes on Twitter, never been on Twitter before, starts following like a swing club in Manhattan, and then reporters
what,
see
because
that.
It came up like people you may know?
Yes.
Sir, you know, everyone can see that.
That's I don't know if that's funny. Yeah, I don't want that construed to be political.
But no, it's not. Yeah. We're just simply relating the story.
Right.
The question I had, coming off this Instagram story, it's in case you missed it with Mike Conti, is those weird stories pop up, and you like the guy spitting on the pizza, and you just go, oh, and you don't want to see it.
Now, the concessionaire, Detroit Sports Service, denies the second part of this guy's statement, who says that when he showed it to the manager, they threatened retaliation. Okay. They deny that part. But, yeah, the spitter has been thrown.
You just hope, if you eat as much fast food as we all do.
I don't even want to.
I don't want to know what's going on in the kitchen. You just hope it's above board.
I place blind trust in the fine people at Popeyes and just roll with it. I've never gotten sick before, and hopefully I'll never get sick further, at least for something added to the food, if not the food itself. Real quick. There is a man in Indiana, 71-year-old man, arrested Friday night for pistol whipping his friend.
Oh.
That split his face wide open. Maybe an ugly injury, really bad. What happened? Well, they got into a disagreement because they were listening to a song and the pistol whipper said it was by Bruno Mars and the pistol whippy disagreed. The pistol whipper called the whippy chicken blank, and then he
pistol whipped,
and he wasn't a very good pistol whipper because, according to police, the gun went off twice.
No one was hit.
But as he was pistol whipping him, the gun went off twice, which is actually, I'd like to know how he's holding the gun for that to occur where you don't get, I don't know. I've never pistol whipped anyone before.
I think you want to come down with the butt of the gun.
Yeah. You've never pistol whipped anybody?
I know that does sound surprising.
I'm shocked. I don't think you want to have your hand on the trigger, but certainly around the trigger guard, but you're going to come down in a slicing motion with the butt of the gun on your nose.
Yeah, you know what? This isn't TV, folks, okay?
No, that's the deal.
No. This guy thought he was watching the Hawaii 5-0.
What is he, Ed Asner or JFK? I didn't see a damn thing.
71-year-old guy charged with battery, injury, criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon.
Well, who was right about the Bruno Mars song?
It was. Yeah, no, this wasn't the song. It was Uptown Funk that they were arguing.
Oh, that's definitely Bruno Mars.
100%. Like, who else could that be?
You gonna pistol whip me over that?
Well, Mark Ronson actually did a lot of producing on that record. But
can you imagine, Mike? Can you imagine? That's Bruno. No, it's not. It's Bruno. Yes, it is.
Take that back.
What you gonna do?
Let me get my gat.
What you gonna do?
Right.
Break out the Beretta.
I'll pistol whip you.
What the hell, man?
That's crazy.
Well, safe to say alcohol was involved.
Well, I was just going to say, no indication of that in the police report, so I don't want to state that as fact. But it's probably a pretty decent assumption that an intoxicant of some form was involved.
Can I tell y'all something? It's just not that serious.
You tell me this is Dexy's Midnight Runners and not pulling out a weapon.
It's just not that serious. You know what? I'm like, Mike, you're wrong. No, I'm not. Okay, cool. You're not.
Keep it moving.
Gonna go get my other gun.
Mike Conti, in case you missed it, top 3 at 6 next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.